This is the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Mohammed, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Mohammed.
He's connected with prophecy as a prophet. And prophecy has been struggling always since the beginning of Revelation. Prophecy has been struggling for completion. Completion. And Muhammad said of himself, prophets came one behind another, and they were, and God was bringing these prophets as building blocks in a structure. And there was only one building block left to be placed into that structure. And he said, and that is Muhammad himself. So he's the last. And he was needed to complete the prophetic picture or the prophetic lifeline. He had to be there to make that completion. So Muhammad as an out is not important. But Muhammad as a prophet that was needed to complete prophecy and the prophetic lifeline is important. And that prophetic life and that prophetic lifeline is not for an Arab, is not for particular people, black or white, it's for mankind. The human soul that hungers for religious peace and satisfaction is not a black human soul or a white human soul or an Arab human soul or an African human soul. It is a human soul, period, that struggles to know what is to satisfy me as a God. What is to satisfy me as religion? The universal message of Islam. So we are not saying Muhammad in that creed. Muhammad is the messenger of God, primarily to say Muhammad is the messenger of God, or primarily to say Muhammad is important to see him with God? No. We're saying that primarily to say that the issue has been settled. Man is no God. The man that God communicates to is not a God. And is this against the Old Testament? No. The Old Testament says, make no graven images. Make no God with God. The Lord thy God is one, etc. Is it against the New Testament in spite of this mystery, the Trinity? No. I've read the Bible more than once. I studied it thoroughly. In the New Testament it says of Jesus Christ, the sent is not equal to the sender. Quote, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's not.
So the truth has to be given in a clear picture, in a clear way, so that the common person can understand it and walk with peace in their hearts and souls and feel satisfied that I have my God and I have my religion. Then it is also natural for man. It is a part of his very nature, his essential nature. It is his core nature, the nature upon which all other natures are depend, and all other natures exist, upon his spiritual core. In that spiritual core, there's a need for him also to pray to God, to communicate, to talk to that God. Man can't satisfy his soul by talking to another man alone, another man, no matter how smart that other man is, no matter how loving that other man is, no matter how giving that other man is. He wants to talk to God. So we have prayer. And all over the world, where historians have written about man in their situation, societies in their given situation, man in history and society in history, the history of the world, we find prayer. Everybody has some form of prayer. So this second essential, this second structure in the house we call Islam, is a universal structure. All people pray in some form or in some way. What is the universal message? Is that man was not put on this earth to pray alone. He is to pray together. The God that made him didn't make him to live alone, but to live with his brothers and sisters, to live with the men and women that he belonged to, the family of man, or the family of human beings. So when he prayed, he should pray with all men. The Muslim prayer is a prayer that reflects the unity of mankind. If we have members outside of our race in our neighborhood, we can't build a mosque, a house of prayer for our race only. That house of prayer, house of worship, has to be for all the members in the neighborhood. And we can't pray separately. The most important prayer for us is congregational prayer. We must pray together. Yes? So the universal message is that man is not praying to have his soul leave this world. Man is praying to God to get help to establish his soul in this world. In this world. So he needs to do that with other men. He needs to do that in concert with the others who have this need in their nature to communicate to God, to pray to their Lord. And that's our prayer. A universal concern and a universal picture. It shows all men standing together, shoulder to shoulder, black, white, brown, yellow, and red, praying, Muslims together, and praying one prayer. Our prayer is the Word of God, is the Quran, the Word of God. Okay, charity too is a need in the life of all human beings. And even when you think of these, the prayer, charity, pardon me, I'm in the third one. When you think of charity as a need in human beings, don't forget that charity is also a need in animals. Charity is also a need in plants. Every living thing that lives, it lives not only for itself, but it lives to support something else. Charity. Universal message. We are one life. We have to respect each other. We have to respect the life of human beings. We have to respect the life of animals. We have to respect the life of plants. This is what Islam taught us. A universal message. And then fasting. Animals know when to stop eating. They're eating and they say, that's enough. They know when to cut off. And sick animals know they need to go get on a fast. They refuse to eat because they're sick. They said, eating won't help this. So I have to stop eating until I get better. Animals know how to fast. So fasting is universal too. And in Islam, when we fast because even the poor will forget that there are others in her circumstance and maybe worse off than he or she is. So when we fast, we can't eat, and there the food is. Yeah, I'm poor, but I can get some chicken. I ain't that poor. I can get some chicken. I can buy a chicken. But I'm fasting now. And I'm fasting as a discipline. I'm fasting because I owe this to God. God said fast. So no matter how much I want to eat, God is more important. To obey Him is more important. I don't eat. So now I'm hungry. And I can buy myself a bag of peanuts and get this pain out of my stomach. But the pain is there. And I'm going to let it stay there until I complete my fast for God. And I can do it because God is big. So I fast. And then I remember when the man comes to me and say, "Hey, buddy, can I have some of those peanuts? I'm hungry." I remember how that feels. And I say, "Yeah, man, here, share these peanuts. In fact, I ain't hungry, man. Take the bag." Charity. And fasting. So we get given by God, and we get so much, we got enough to share with others. And after a while, we become unconscious, and we're just consuming too much. Then we have to restrain our appetite to get our own life in good fashion and also to help others. A universal message. Right now, they're telling us that one out of every five persons on this earth experience hunger and can't do nothing about it. Isn't that something? I think it's exaggerated. But that's what they say, so I'm just giving you this statistic. One out of every five persons. Over a million and a quarter children of our children on earth starving. And the report says, why? When we are throwing away tons of food. Every city, every big city in the Western society, throwing away tons of food. Every month. The farmers turning crops back in the ground because there's no demand for them. You got too much. And he has a quota he has to obey. So if he got too much, he has to get rid of it. Can't sell it. The President of the United States is not happy with that. And most of our honorable good leaders in this country, they're not happy with that. And the citizens of this country are Americans, are people who feel for others. We feel what others suffer. That's one of our strongest features. Americans feel what others suffer. You can be a criminal. You can be morally corrupt. A sexual pervert. But it's hard to find any American, saint or sinner, that won't feel bad if they find another person suffering. We just don't like to see another person suffer and not get help. So when the people of America, the public, hear about this, that all these children are starving and all this food is all everywhere in the world, it's sad and it saddens us. It's universal what we're talking about. And when it comes to the last pillar, the fifth of these, Hajj, a visit to the house, why do we make pilgrimage? We know we're going to be in the presence of God. We know we love our God. It's our God and love for Him that draws us there. We know that. But why have God designed that for us through His prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to have us come to that one place from all parts of the world, different nationalities, different tribes, different ethnicities, different languages, etc., all coming to that one place once a year Why have God designed it that way? To tell us that mankind is one family.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
Mankind is one family. In Islam, among the scholars, the leaders, the ministers, the imams, the preachers, it is understood that this visit, this pilgrimage, is a message of the unity of mankind, that we are all one family. And we go on to a house that is said to have been built by Abraham with help from his son. Another prophet, peace be upon him, Ishmael, or Ishmael in the Bible. And this same Abraham is called the father of the nations in Christianity and Judaism, and is called a leader for the nations in Islam, which means the same, if you understand it, a leader for the nations, and also father, our father. He is the one who built the house. And God says of the house that it is a house built for all mankind. Bunya linnas. A house built for all mankind, for all people. And God says of that house, awwala baytin. The first house, bunya linnas, built for all people. The first house. Now get away from the tendency in you to see things only in their material form or in their concrete physical form. As a concrete object or a concrete structure, there might have been other houses before that house. Listen closely. There might have been other houses of worship before that house. Well, you're contradicting what your scripture says. No, I'm not. Just listen, please. The house is not in its physical picture, the house. The house is in its symbolic picture, the house. Is symbolic of the natural need in the soul of all people to identify with one beginning as a people existing on this earth, or to identify in one beginning and to turn to the power that's responsible, the creator that's responsible for their existence. And that's what that house symbolizes. It symbolizes a house, is a house for all people. It represents the first urge and the last urge in their stomach, in their minds, in their hearts, in their souls, to connect with the one responsible for their existence and for all the benefits that they enjoy. It represents that. It represents the beginning of the social family that might have started with just an Adam and an Eve and spread all over the world. So in conclusion, the message is, we are one, and don't think of this anymore as one physical body, although science proves that we are. Physically, biologically, genetically, we are one, all people. But don't look at that as the important thing. Spiritually, we are one. Spiritually, we all have the same life in common. We all have the same spiritual need to connect with our God and to acknowledge that we didn't put ourselves here, and we need His help to get wherever life, matter is taking us.
So Muhammad is a prophet to clarify things that was puzzling the world. And man was promised by God that it would one day be made clear. That's scripture. When you look at the Bible, Old, the New Testament, the way it was a long time ago, we used to have it. The Old Testament in black. The New Testament in black too, but what Jesus Christ said in red. And when we study Abraham, his life, Abraham was a man who dug a well. He dug a well. A well in the earth. And God says of the earth in the Quran, and it's in the Bible too, but I'm not giving you the Bible. Bible is, I'm quoting, but my source is Islamic though, the Quran. God says of the earth that the earth is to support communities. So what is the earth? The earth is a social foundation. The earth is a social foundation. The red print in the Bible is to connect us with our social life and our social foundation. And Allah says of Abraham that God made Abraham a community. He's one man. He's one. He's not two. He's one. But God says he made him a community. So that man symbolizes not one person, but man in society, man in the community. And that community is the community of mankind that Abraham symbolizes, all men. And Allah says of Muhammad, if you understand this, Muhammad is a community. Because his life does not symbolize the life of a person, but the life of man in community. How man is to live in community. The digging of the well now. What is that a picture of? What does it symbolize? Here is pure water filtered by the sand beneath, by the rocks beneath. It comes up through the filter of matter of earth, and it reaches the surface pure and fit to drink. Good to drink, and they call it well because it's not sick and it won't make you sick. It's well. I don't know about all the wells they dig now because industrial pollution even goes under the surface of the earth and pollutes the water beneath. But originally, the water could be trusted if it was well water. So here is an invisible mask, I shouldn't say invisible, because we can't see it. It reflects light, etc. A transparent mass. Here's a transparent mass inside of a colored or a mass that has transparency, color. It prevents the sight from penetrating or going through it. The earth, the ground. So we have here a transparent core in another body that is visible and not transparent. That symbolizes our spiritual core. That man is essentially spiritual. Our life, our true life is spiritual. But it must have a social context. And the social context includes material support and material interest. It is material support that brings man to socialize and to form productive social bonds. Not just spiritual social bonds, not just social
social bonds, but productive social bonds. The man socialized to have pleasure, song, dance, expressions for his pleasure. The man socialized to have peace, to call on God. The man socializes for many reasons. But what has changed the looks of man on earth and the looks of the communities on earth is man's interest in socializing for production. Thank you very much. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Allahu Akbar.
As-salamu alaykum. We thank God and praise Him. We say Alhamdulillah, the Lord sustainer of the world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And thanks and praises for God, the Lord sustainer of the world. We witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Him. We worship but one God. We associate no deity, nothing to be worshipped as God except God, the creator of everything, as we have it in our holy book, Al-Khaliqu Kulli Shay, the creator of everything. And yet this creator says of himself that he is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, that he is the best of creators. That is, God that wants man to know that God has created him also to create things, to be a creator. But he is to remember that God is the creator of everything, including what man creates. Praise be to Allah. And we have been known as a people and criticized, really, stigmatized as people that produce nothing but babies. Well, that has changed. We know there are few of us that satisfy still producing nothing but babies. But I think the majority of us want to produce much more than babies. We want to produce a future for those babies. And that means accepting responsibility for our circumstances, for the conditions in our life, in our home life firstly, but also in our neighborhood and in our city and in our country. And this is the big responsibility that God gave to every human being, knowing that every human being couldn't carry that big responsibility, but God knew that He created enough in the human being for our leaders to rise up and represent the many. And the leaders will guide the people to a life of production and provide jobs and opportunities to grow to all people, to all the people. This is what the best of our political leaders want for society. The best of our presidents of these United States wanted for this society. And this is what the best believers in the faith communities of Jews, Christians, and Muslims want for the society. That no one be dealt with unjustly. And God says, "Kunu qawwamuna bil-qisti shuhada'a lillah." To the Muslims, He says to us, be a people standing for justice as witnesses for God. As witnesses for God. So we have to accept this responsibility. And God says of us, "Antum khayru ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas," that you are the best of communities, evolved for the good of all people. And Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he said, "Khayrukum man yanfa' an-nas," the best of you are the ones who benefit the whole of humanity. The best of you are the ones who benefit the whole of humanity.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. Or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.